Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her. I joyfully serve this loving congregation. However you are today, whoever you are, whoever you love, you are welcome here. You are welcome if you are inspired this Sunday morning, or if you're feeling despair. You are welcome if you feel renewed with the rain and the fresher air, or if you still feel deeply in need of renewal. You are welcome here. If you are visiting us, you are also welcome here. And if you would like more information about our community and how to be more engaged with us, please write our administrator. Her email is on the screen in front of you, and it's also on our webpage. You can get the links to coffee hour and other ways to engage in our small groups and activities. Please, everyone else, read your bulletins, read your announcements that came in your email this morning. Being connected with each other right now really matters. Soon you're going to be able to register next week for Chalice Circles so you can have small groups to engage with. We have other regularly meeting groups. And we have coffee hour at 11:30 this morning. The link is in your order of service. And we would love to see you. We do joys and sorrows. We talk about the service. And we break into small groups for deeper check-in. It's a really great way to see old friends and to meet new people, and I look forward to seeing you there. I light this chalice this morning for the sparks that pass between us, enlivening us with possibilities. Blessing in the Storm by Jan Richardson. I cannot claim to still the storm that has seized you, cannot calm the waves that wash through your soul, that break against your fierce and aching heart. But I will wade into these waters, will stand with you in this storm, will say peace to you in the waves, will say peace to you in the wind, peace to you in every moment that finds you with the storm.
Let's go. The Spark Between Us by the Reverend Teresa Soto. There must be fuel, there must be a spark, and there must be oxygen. We have principles and ethics, the fuel of the fire we would light. The spark is what passes between us, along with our aliveness, our possibility. Spirit, moving us, is our clear invitation, embossed, addressed, sealed with wax, tied with ribbon. The spark is a seed of fire that must be treasured and tended that it may bring light. We have passion, the air without which nothing thrives, least of all the blaze of covenant, justice, and kindness. We would illuminate both with who we are and what we do. All of these are an invitation to bring to life the blaze of liberation that is meant to light our way and to dispel the fog of cruelty and grief. It brings us instead to a hearth around which we gather to be nourished, energized, and warmed, and where we get ready to disperse, enlivened.
These days, I think a lot about what it means to be in a faith community when we cannot gather in person. So much of how we think of ourselves is as a group of people who come together to sing, to listen, to talk, to give hugs and smiles when things are difficult or when they are good. We share our lives together. So what does it mean to be a congregation when we cannot, in fact, congregate? For me, this time, as unwanted as it is, gives us a chance to explore the deeper questions of what it means to be a congregation. Why be in a congregation? Rather than the Rotary or a book group or a social justice organization. If you follow an Abrahamic faith, you join a congregation to feel closer to God. If you follow a Buddhist faith, you join a Sangha to bring freedom and presence to your life through Buddhist rituals or thought. So why do we come to a Unitarian Universalist congregation? What is our purpose? There's many reasons. Some people come to feel closer to God or to a higher power. Others come to find those to journey with on a spiritual path and thus to find greater fulfillment in life. Still others come to focus living their values as expressed in UU principles. One way each UU congregation expresses their particular purpose is with their mission. And I believe that this time when we cannot gather, is a good time to renew our commitment to our mission. Wolf worked diligently to create its mission to uncover what most central to who it was and is as a congregation. We say it often, and it is in our bulletin each Sunday. We plant seeds of inspiration. We grow in compassionate community. We bloom in service to the wider world. As someone who gardens, I have always loved the metaphor of Wolf's mission. And of course, the mission itself is all that I believe UU faith communities should be: inspirational, compassionate, and focused on service, which is perhaps why I so enjoy serving as your minister. Today I want to consider the first part of the mission. We plant seeds of inspiration. How might we plant seeds of inspiration in this particular moment? This moment which at its worst has the gritty, surreal feel of apocalypse, and at its very best feels really uncomfortable and uncertain. I love the word inspire. The word is connected to breath, inhaling, taking in air. The Middle Eastern and Western cultures have for millennia connected the idea of breath and whatever it is that vitalizes us and brings us to life, often called spirit. In Genesis, written about 3,000 years ago, God literally breathes into mud, bringing people to life. I have found great sustenance in this idea that breath and spirit are connected. It just actually seems literally true. My breath is what vitalizes me and keeps me alive. The first thing a baby must do to live is to breathe. The last thing we do before we die is take a final breath and stop. So it makes sense that whatever the words are for what animates us and breath are related. In Hebrew, the word ruach means the power of the breath or the wind. It also means spirit, that which animates us. In Latin, spiritus means the breathing breath of a god. The word inspire, taken apart, says literally in spirit. You take in the spirit. Something comes into you and animates you. You get excited. You get energized or motivated when you just weren't before. Something that was dull or boring is suddenly transformed. Inspired is the feeling we have when we are creative and see new possibilities that we could not see before. Sometimes inspiration, though, isn't even an idea exactly, but just an activation, a motivation. What was impossible becomes possible. I'm inspired to do it. I did not think I had the energy to eat anything but cold cereal for dinner, but now suddenly it feels possible to take all those vegetables in the refrigerator and make stir fry. I did not think I could go to the protest downtown, but now for some reason I can. Inspiration is activating. It brings us to life. Mozart said, "Inspiration fires my soul." It seems totally appropriate for a Unitarian Universalist congregation to have Inspire in its mission. Isn't that the foundational point of faith traditions? From Christianity to Buddhism to paganism, to bring more life into people's lives, to wake us up, to see new, to transform us. I would argue that now, more than ever, we need inspiration. We need new possibilities. We need creativity. We need new ways through old problems and any way at all through new problems. We need the energy and motivation to act. In mid-August, in a letter to Unitarian Universalists titled "Practicing Now for a More Just Post-Pandemic Society," UUA President Susan Frederick Gray said that the lesson of our time is to renew the moral foundation of care in our society. And I love that call, to renew the moral foundation of care in our society. Isn't that what is so sorely needed? A moral foundation of care? I don't know exactly what you call the foundation of our current system, the one that sees people either as labor or as consumers, and sees Earth and other species as resources to be used. I do know that it is not based on care for people or for the Earth. In the same letter, Frederick Gray asks us all to nurture what inspires our compassion, commitment, and action. I think her entreaty adds depth to our own mission. Perhaps we are asked to plant and nurture seeds that inspire us to be more compassionate, more committed, and more able to act so we can create a moral foundation of care in the world. So how do we do that? How do we plant and nurture seeds of inspiration? One really interesting thing about inspiration is you can't make yourself inspired. Actually, there is nothing more likely to kill inspiration than pacing around and saying things like, "Really need an inspired idea right now," or getting really angry and shouting, "Super stuck here, send in the inspiration." I don't think it's very surprising that the word inspired is linguistically connected to the idea of the breath of God. When I get inspired, I very much have the sense of something coming into me from the outside. Sometimes it's like a jolt, and other times it's like a soft pulse, a sense, a thread, something I can play with and work with to create something more interesting or create more energy. Inspiration researchers, in fact, talk about the transcendent quality of inspiration, saying that those who describe an inspired moment feel more spirituality and meaning than they do at other times in their lives. So if we can't make inspiration happen, what are its seeds? What nurtures it? What makes it more possible to have inspired moments? Openness to the world and to life and a willingness to be surprised make inspiration more likely. One way to think about inspiration, according to creativity guru Scott Barry Kaufman, is that it is the surprising interaction between your current knowledge and the information you receive from the world. Planting seeds of inspiration means being engaged with the world and being curious about it. That engagement and that curiosity are, in fact, the seeds. It turns out that when we have tight control over our lives and our ideas, and when we filter new ideas into "that's right, that's wrong," it stifles inspiration. Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, the flow and creativity researcher, suggests to practice being getting inspired is to try to be surprised by something every day. He thinks you should try to surprise someone else every day with something that didn't occur to them, something about you or the world. And he says you should write these things down. And so you have a practice of surprise. Following our interests matters as well when it comes to inspiration. So if something catches your interest, try following up and exploring those interests. That leads to seeds of inspiration. Mozart said, "Those ideas that please me, I retain in my memory, and am accustomed, as I have been told, to hum them to myself. If I continue in this way, it soon occurs to me how I may turn this or that morsel to account so as to make a good dish of it. Mozart, of course, worked at his music, and work preparation is correlated with inspiration as well. That means if you're a musician and practice your musical skills regularly, you are more likely to be musically inspired. If you are an activist who regularly does the work of activism, you will be have more inspired ideas about how to do your work better. So how might Woof plant seeds of inspiration? I think one way we do this is to help each other nurture our capacity for openness, for wonder, and for surprise. One way we might do this is by advocating and teaching the importance of spiritual practices such as meditation. These practices are intended to teach us to live with openness and flexibility in the present moment. Instead of living in memories and feelings of the past or plans or worries for the future, living with an open heart in the present allows us to experience the wonder and surprise of what actually happens. Another way we might do this is by learning to really listen. We live in a society where how much you know and how smart and right we are is really valued. Most of us were not trained to listen in conversation, but to plan what we will say next. Many of us need to learn to listen and lean in with curiosity to what others have to say. This is the importance of small group ministry, such as chalice circles. And we also need to listen to ourselves and what we really know and what really interests us and makes our heart beat faster. Small group ministry also helps with that kind of listening. Woof can also help us explore our interests. In a community, we can share what intrigues us and perhaps find someone else to explore that with us. At Woof, we can do work preparation as well. We can practice compassion, living our values and creating a community that rests on a moral foundation of care. By practicing the skills required to live our faith, required to be compassionate, required to live our values, and engaging in all the challenges of that work in an open way is one way that we plant and nurture seeds of inspiration. We are called by our faith to build a society that cares for the abundant gifts of the world, the beings of each person and animal, and all the other life that surrounds us. How difficult that work can seem when climate change is creating the disasters that were predicted, fires and storms and pandemics. And when the human reaction to such pain can be to spew out hatred and anger and the desire for rigid control. What a gift, though, that our faith gives us something else, too. Ways to cultivate inspiration that can, in a flash, open up new possibilities and give us the energy to act on those possibilities. We can absolutely continue to plant seeds of inspiration during a pandemic, even if we cannot congregate as a congregation. We can help each other learn to approach life with openness, to wonder and surprise. We can share ideas and knowledge. We can listen deeply as others share their experiences and understanding. And when that mixes together, we can feel that spark of growth within us that means a seed is there, a seed that can open. We can practice compassion. We can work together to live our UU values and live our principles. We can create a community built on a moral foundation of care. As we work diligently on these, building our skills and capacity, engaging with openness and curiosity, we plant seeds of inspiration. We nurture those seeds. When these seeds burst open, they offer us new possibilities and motivation for living our faith more deeply. And that is our way into an uncertain future. Go and lay out the fuel. You will find it somewhere in the clutter of values and interests in your mind. As you work, pay attention and leave room for air to twist between the pieces. Fire needs breath. fire needs wind. Then find the spark, the one passed to you from someone else's story or laughter or tears. Set it close to the fuel and blow it gently with your breath. Will the spirit come, leaping and alive, taking you to new places? Perhaps. Perhaps not. But you come again. Tend to the fuel and the bright sparks with the warm air of your body. Someday, the inspiration will come. We will now extinguish our chalice until we meet again. But it does not go out. For as long as we carry its flame in our hearts, the light of Unitarian Universalism warms and brightens our world.